Judge Juan Merchan ruled today that former President Trump violated his gag order for a 10th time and warned that he will put Trump in jail if he has to. Please, you think Trump is scared of jail? That place is full of mobsters and white supremacists. He'll walk into jail the way Norm walks into Cheers.
Yeah, that's prisons are known for being full of white supremacists in New York. That's what's going on. It's an extremely ignorant class of people that we're dealing with here. Speaking of which, out of New York City, where Stormy Daniels has stormed the courtroom in the Donald Trump fake trial, the lynch mob that they have assembled there, and the headline from the left-wing Mediaite, kind of an absurd turn of phrase, jaw-dropping update from Trump trial regarding Stormy Daniels and Trump's genitalia. They're asking Stormy Daniels to describe Trump's genitalia, and at Mediaite, the first turn of phrase that occurs to them is jaw-dropping. Might give you a little clue as to where their mind is, what their mindset is, their worldview, but the jaw-dropping update from the Trump trial regarding Stormy Daniels and Trump's, quote, genitalia, end quote. And I will share that with you. But first, let's get back to it. And also, I'm going to get to Columbia University and New York City, where the left is still waging their insane war against civilization. And there's a funny photograph that has appeared. It is an aerial view at Columbia University, the steps to one of the main buildings at Columbia University. And Democrats went there with spray paint cans. And there are two sections, a very broad staircase, probably 50 feet across from left to right. And you go up the steps, maybe 20 steps or so, to the columned building. And they spray painted free in giant letters covering about five steps, free on the left side of the staircase, and Palestine on the right side of the staircase. So the aerial view makes it clear that they spray-painted free Palestine, and it's an Ivy League institution, Columbia University. Barack Obama went there, and they misspelled Palestine. Palestine is misspelled. They did not spell the word correctly that they care so deeply about. We're living in a very dangerous time because the zombie apocalypse is here and the idiocracy has taken over. Now, with that said, let me get back to Cheryl, who was polite enough to hang in there. And Cheryl, I know that you told Jeff when you called in that you're a substitute teacher and you wanted to share with the nice people out here what you've learned about the indoctrination of students in our public schools.
Absolutely, Chris. The indoctrination is very real. One of the things that I do with the students, because I try to teach exclusively high school students because I think they're more mature, one of the things that I try and teach them is the importance of carrying on our American civilization. And more than once I've had students say, well, why should I whenever America doesn't treat black people, or and they normally say African-American, and the LGBTQ, and they don't have equality. And then I expressed to them, if we were living in 1950s America, I can understand your point. But you cannot tell me any place in society that the people that you describe are not living and thriving and having an impact on civilization. That simply is not true. The indoctrination is very real. The teaching of victimhood is very real in society. And I even asked the young lady, I said, do you know who our vice president is? Do you know who the lieutenant governor of Virginia is? Do you know that we have an LGBTQ person sitting on the Joint Chiefs? I believe it's the Joint Chiefs. And so they're not living in reality. They're not taught to live in reality. They're taught to hate America. In fact, whenever the beginning of school, whenever we do the Pledge of Allegiance, there may be one or two students. Mostly, there are no students that actually stand up to pledge allegiance to the flag. And I have to say to them at that point, after that summer with, that do you realize that that flag, any place in the world, is a symbol of freedom? And so they do not know, they do not understand, they hate the country. And I tell them that your peers all over the world don't take you as serious people. Your peers all over the world think that you don't love your country, that you are addicted to the internet, porn in particular. They don't think you're serious people. And I then ask them, is this true, what your peers around the world think of you? Because they have an idea of what young people, high schoolers in the greatest country in America, what their value systems are. Do you know that this is what they think of you? And they are shocked and surprised, one, that they even thought of all over the world. And second, that the people in this country are looking for them to carry on our civilization, and they don't even have the capacity to even do so.
Well, I am your biggest fan. You are wonderful, and you are correct in everything that you say. And I would add one more thing. I could add a lot more, but I want to add one more thing, and Cheryl, and that is you're dealing with students, and I assume many of these students are, they're diverse, right? You have students of all races.
Absolutely.
And, right. And they love that word, diverse. And African-American students are taught to be victims, which can only hold you back. But let me throw this question into the hopper for you. I would ask the students if they can name another country in the world where people of African descent are more successful, more prosperous, freer than they are in the United States of America. Is there another country? Because here's the reality, Cheryl. African-Americans are the most successful, the most prosperous people of African descent anywhere in the world. There is no country, not in Africa, there isn't a country where Africans are more prosperous, more financially successful, educationally advantaged than African Americans. There is no country in Europe, Western or Eastern Europe, where the people of the African diaspora is more prosperous, wealthier, better educated, have more advantages than African Americans. The reality is, of all of the African diaspora, the African American population is the most successful, the most prosperous, the wealthiest, the most.
And Chris, they are the most influential. And also, I also talk with my classes about, where can you show up in the world and just become a citizen? Can you go into Mexico and just become a citizen? And if America is so hateful and mean, why is the world showing up at our borders? Mm-hmm. And so one of the young men said, because of the propaganda about our country, I said, but you know what? They live in their own countries and they want to come here where they can be free. So we do have, and I mean, it is prevalent all over our public educational system, that the young people are, that they hate our country, and not 100%, but it's almost at 100%. I even asked how many would join the military. And then when a few hands, and it's normally one or two hands go up, I ask them, tell me the branches. And so sometimes they don't even know the branches of the military that they even want to join. They do not know. We are setting our country up to fail. And I asked them, I said, there are entities all over the world that are believing that your generation will be the generation that failed the American civilization. Are they correct in that? Mm. And so I give them something to think about. But yes, they are being indoctrinated. And my husband, he always says, please keep doing your best.
Well,
I can only hope that we can do our best to save our young people for just setting themselves up for slavery, basically.
You know, that's 100% right. You're 100% right, because, you know, if the left wins, then these young students will die as slaves. Hopefully will live a long life. And if the left wins, then they will die as slaves. Ask any Chinese national in the United States of America that fled communist China. Ask any Soviet Russian that fled the Soviet Union. Ask any North Korean that escaped North Korea. Ask any Cuban that escaped Cuba. Ask the thousands and thousands of Venezuelans that have fled the glories of socialism in Venezuela, now formerly the most prosperous country in all of Latin America, and now just another beephole that people are fleeing like it's on fire. Cheryl, you are wonderful, and you live in Dumfries, Virginia, and I hope to meet you someday. And when we meet, remind me of this conversation.
You absolutely have met me before.
Oh, I've met you before? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. We go way back. Well, listen, I thank you for calling in. I appreciate everything that you're doing, and God bless you. And I just want to, echo what your husband tells you, and just keep up the good work. And God bless you. God bless you. I'm signing the cross here. It's something I do with my hands every now and then. It's really great to. Great to hear from you. Thank you, Cheryl. And I'll look forward to seeing you again. Then I'll see you again. And we meet our listeners here. We have politics and a pint. We have events and dinners. And we do all kinds of great things to meet our wonderful listeners like Cheryl. Now, let me get to what's going on, because I love this Columbia University thing. And the dimwits that are going around misspelling Palestine when they spray paint Free Palestine. And last night in New York City, they were ganging up on the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which is surrounded by Central Park. And then the mob of lunatics went into Central Park and vandalized and spray painted American monuments to World War I and beyond. And they're not very original, and they chant Free, Free Palestine, but they don't know how to spell it. They proved that when they went to Columbia University, and again, an Ivy League institution, and they're out here. They should be getting hit with rubber bullets and beanbags with every step they take, but instead, now, wait till I share with you this wonderful young woman, a Barnard, which is a university affiliated with the Columbia University in New York, a Jewish student there, a young woman, who is scheduled to graduate this year, but there will be no graduation for her. And I want to share with you her comments this morning. She was on the television, and I want to share her with her experiences with you. That's coming up. And more of the madness from New York City last night. It's the Democrat Party, and honestly. Hey, when you get sick, where do you go? Well, you go to the doctor, of course. Why wouldn't you do essentially the same thing with your taxes? You know, just because the tax deadline is behind us doesn't mean that all your tax problems are behind us, too. You've heard all the horror stories about the IRS. They never seem to end well, do they? Let me tell you about my friends at Legal Tax Defense. Now, if you have unfiled back taxes, or if you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, then I want you to call the legal experts at Legal Tax Defense. They have a team of tax attorneys and legal professionals that are standing by to help guide you through the complicated tax codes and your personal legal troubles, your tax problems. They're here to help you. They've got former IRS attorneys and tax professionals. Legal Tax Defense is there to help you resolve your federal and state tax problems. So call them today. Don't procrastinate. Call 800-472-0467. For more than 10 years now, Legal Tax Defense has helped save taxpayers just like you millions and millions in back taxes owed. So call them right now to get qualified for your tax relief options. The call is confidential. The call is free. So call them right now. 800-472-0467. That's 800-472-0467. Yeah, wait till you hear this. And, you know, God bless Cheryl. She's a substitute teacher. She runs into this madness. She calmly shares the truth with them. And honestly, in what country do you think the most successful people of African descent reside? You think it's France, Mexico, Brazil, Canada? It's the United States of America by a long shot.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Now, I mentioned that we have audio that I'm going to share with you, a young woman who has a fun name. Her name is Yola. Her first name is Yola, Y-O-L-A. Ashkenazi is her last name, Ashkenazi. Like, you know, Eastern European Jewish people. And tells you everything you need to know. Yola Ashkenazi, a young woman who is scheduled to graduate from Barnard College. And I said Barnard is the adjacent, it's affiliated with the Columbia University. And I didn't say it's the women's school. I know it was founded as the women's school, adjacent to Columbia University. But I thought, no, surely they accept men now. And then I just went and looked for it. And it turns out that's wrong. They don't accept men, and they're proud of it. If you go to the barnard.edu website, Policy and Gender, they have a posting on this. Federal law permits us to discriminate in admissions on the basis of sex, and we do. That's the first line. They love to discriminate. We do not accept men for admission. At Barnard, we have no formal policy addressing transgender applicants. All right, I'm a lady. Because until recently, we hadn't seen a need for one. Instead, our longtime practice had been to review each application individually. Hey, that's a good idea. And to admit only students who identify in the traditional sense as women. Sure. Yeah. Well, what if you have a penis? That's one of the things I think you got to raise a question about that. Because I know you guys have got a lot of issues with these things. And also, there's another crazy story out there today about CNN. CNN is, the headline is, CNN wants you to use phrases like pregnant people instead of pregnant women, and penis owners. Penis owners. Really, is ownership the right word? Doesn't that go back to the days of slavery? In cultural or political discourse, CNN says that penis owners and pregnant people, these are mentally ill. We have a generation of mentally ill people. Now, I've got the young lady from Barnard coming up. All right, let's go down. I do love this. They're very proud of the fact that they can discriminate based on gender at Barnard, and they're a little confused when it comes to transgender people, and they'll take that on a one-by-one thing. And that kind of goes to the CNN story that I was just talking about, too, where they would prefer that you use the term pregnant people rather than pregnant women because they know that men can get pregnant in modern Democrat Party America, right? And also penis owners. Now, that's CNN. Here's the story right here. They wrote the actual story. Use of phrases like pregnant people and penis owners in cultural or political discourse is sometimes met with confusion or even anger. Well, it's met with confusion when you use that language because you are confused, right? And it's got a picture of a wedding cake with two little men in tuxedos on the wedding cake because that has nothing to do with pregnant people or penis owners, but This is the Democrat Party. Why use these terms when, as some people ask, quote, only women can get pregnant, end quote, or, quote, only men have penises, end quote. But then CNN goes on to explain at length how that's not really the case. And Jeff, you know, penis owners, it's, you know, you might say that a lot of cases that, you know, your penis owns you. Just ask Bill Clinton. Ask Hillary Clinton. And there are a lot of women out there that they think that they own your penis, and they might be right. But that's a different discussion for another day. And that's CNN. They're pushing this story. It's really, they published this story on Al Gore's Amazing Internet yesterday. Kristen Rogers wrote the story. Pregnant people and penis owners. I'd like to meet her, I think. She said it's met with confusion or even anger. I think you're confused, and you're undoubtedly angry, too. Just amazing stuff. We've got to do a better job of educating people, realizing that sex and gender are on a bit of a spectrum, see? And they're not the same, said Kagan Miller, director of public training at the Trevor Project, a suicide prevention and crisis intervention organization for LGBTQ plus youth. Everybody just calm down. Why don't you just act like normal gay people? That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? I mean, for you guys, not for us. All right, let's go to the, let's go to the, they're all insane. Here is an obviously Jewish Barnard College student, a young woman named Yola Ashkenazi. I say she's obviously Jewish because the name Ashkenazi is like having a last name that is, I'm Jewish, right? Because that's what Ashkenazi refers to, for the most part, Eastern European, longtime Eastern European Jewish population. But here is this young woman, very bright young woman, Yola Ashkenazi, and she is scheduled to be graduating from Barnard College, which is Columbia University. But the headline today from ABC News Los Angeles, Columbia University cancels main commencement after protests that roiled campus for weeks. So they can't, you know, normally, and it says they're main, this is the big one where everybody would graduate all at once. And you have your parents there, as maybe your grandparents, because you're just graduated from college, and maybe your aunts and uncles. And you know, depending on your gender, you might have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or something like that who would attend your graduation. But here is this young woman who is hoping to graduate from Columbia University, but they're canceling now the actual big graduation. They say they're going to have some little mini graduations. So if you're in the school of gender confusion and racial dysphoria, then they might have your graduation in a classroom because there are only seven of you idiots, you know, something like that. But here's the nice young lady, Yola Ashkenazi.
It's super disappointing. You work so hard for 4 years and then you don't even get the opportunity to commemorate it with your friends and your family. You know, it's for our parents just as much as it is for us. And they don't get to properly mark this moment. And it's really sad.
And it's really sad. It's honestly the parents, and this is you paid $150 million, so your kid and all the tutors and the SATs and the, now they don't do that anymore because testing is racist or something like that. So she got into Barnard, which you have to pronounce like that, Barnard, and it's best if you have lockjaw. And Barnard, I'm at Barnard, and our daughter Yola is at Barnard, and she'll be graduating. And she's a serious student, and she just wants to go and finish up her course studies and graduate from college, but they've canceled. So all these years into this process, going back to junior in high school, and then they just pull the rug out because the left is here.
Campus is completely closed, which is absurd. I do my best work in the library, and I can't even get onto campus because of all of this.
Can't even get onto campus because of all of this. And she just wants to go to study, and I do my best work in the, you know, Columbia, I'm sure, and Barnard have wonderful libraries, and she'd like to go there, but no. Now, there is a great story that there are companies that are announcing that they're not going to hire graduates from Harvard, from Columbia, from Barnard, and a fun story today from the Washington Free Beacon. 13 federal judges say they will no longer hire law clerks from Columbia University, citing virulent spread of anti-Semitism and explosion of student disruptions. So 13 federal judges on Monday said they would no longer hire law clerks from Columbia or Columbia Law School after the university allowed the encampments on their lawn to spiral into a destructive occupation of campus building. The judges cited the explosion of student disruption, virulent spread of anti-Semitism, which has now canceled its main graduation ceremony because of the unrest led by appellate court judges James Ho and Elizabeth Branch, who spearheaded a clerkship boycott of Yale Law School in 2022 and Stanford Law School in 2023, as well as by Matthew Solomons and U.S. Court Federal Claims. And the judges wrote in a letter to Columbia President Manoush Shafiq, who is Egyptian, that and was hired because she's a woman of color who's Egyptian and I assume Muslim. And now you have all this raging anti-Semitism on campus, and they just shrug and go loot a drugstore, you know, saying they would, the president of Columbia got the letter saying they would no longer hire anyone who joins the Columbia University community, whether as undergraduates or as law students, beginning with the entering class of 2024. And, you know, freedom of speech protects protest, not trespass, and certainly not acts or threats of violence or terrorism. So good for them. It has become clear that Columbia applies double standards when it comes to free speech and student misconduct. Were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. And so when Yola Ashkenazi was asked, hey, what about those companies and judges are saying they're not going to hire graduates of Columbia and certain other schools? What up with that?
I totally understand it, because really a lot of the students there throughout this year have shown complete lack of moral clarity. I don't blame them, honestly.
Now, if you own a business or a company, today would be a good day to fire a Columbia grad. Fire a Harvard grad. Not really, of course, but it's a fun thought. It is a fun thought. It wouldn't be the right thing to do, but telling the school as a business, as a judge, you're boycotting, you're canceling them. You're canceling them. Yola Ashkenazi talking about the administrators at Columbia University and, of course, the Columbia University president, the Egyptian woman I just cited here. And, you know, the Democrats, everything, it's DEI. She's a DEI hire, and she's done nothing because she doesn't show up to the dance with traditional American values. You know, her grandfather, her father, you know, did they fight in World War I and World War II and the Vietnam War and march in the civil rights movement? And no, she's from Egypt, and Manoush Shafiq is not doing the right thing as president of Columbia University and, by extension, Barnard College.
You know, the administration has been saying these are peaceful protests all year. Otherwise, they would have shut them down in October and November when they first started, but they didn't. And now they canceled graduation. But why would they cancel graduation if they're peaceful protests? They can't get their story straight.
They can't get their story straight. A smart young woman. And she deserves to be hired. And she's, you know, she's going to get her diploma, but there are going to be no march, no throwing the mortar boards in the air, no cheers and seeing your parents and waving up in the crowd because the left. Yola Ashkenazi.
A student actually one time came up to me in the middle of campus. I was just walking to class and someone came up to me and goes, oh, you're that girl. And I'm like, I look at her puzzled. What do you mean that girl? She goes, you know, that genocidal baby killer. And I'm like, me? I'm a 21-year-old college student who just supports Israel's right to exist. And there are people coming up to me on campus saying the vilest things. It's not okay.
Not okay. She's good. I like this young woman. I liked her immediately listening to her this morning, watching her on the television this morning. So she's a genocidal baby killer because she's Jewish. which is incredibly racist. And of course, the people yelling at her are the ones that are advocating genocide, and what they're advocating is the genocide of the Jewish people. Here is Yola Ashkenazi.
We're totally missing the mark. Everyone right now is focusing on what's going on the college campuses. What are these protesters doing? They say they're pro-Palestinian. But if they were pro-Palestinian, they would make sure the media coverage was on what's actually going on in Israel and in Gaza. What's happening in Gaza is so horrible. Seeing the people starving because Hamas steals all of the humanitarian aid, it's horrible. Maybe if the media covered that and not these college students, these privileged college students who are camping out on campuses, we might actually get to a place where all of this can end. Or if people focused on the over 130 hostages who for now are 7 months in captivity of Hamas, including a girl 19 years old. Her name's Na'ama Levy. She's 19, younger than me, being held by people who we know are rapists and nobody cares.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Well, keep in mind that are the party of, Bill Clinton and Joe Biden and Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein and Matt Lauer and Anthony Weiner, and the list goes on and on. No doubt about it. I want to, because she's talking about being accosted by these racists and anti-Semites on the campus of Columbia University, I spoke to my brother Daniel yesterday, who's a news reporter in San Diego, California, and he was out covering a story when he was surrounded by a gang of San Diego, right along the Mexico border. And he was surrounded by a gang of people for whom English was not their first language, and surrounded male and female, who immediately confronted him. He's a newsman, and he's with a cameraman, and they're there to cover a story. And these mostly Spanish-speaking people, these 12 to 15 of them, surrounded him. One man with a big fat belly ran into him and bumped him with his belly, and they're calling him a racist and say, "You're a racist. Get out of here." I would call him a racist because he's purportedly white. His father was Jules Ortega, but never mind that. And my father, Jules Ortega, but never mind that. And he is being accosted by these people. And my brother Daniel is smiling and saying, "Hey, listen, I'm here to cover a story. And I'm headed over here." And they're going to, "You're a racist." Now they're calling him a racist because he's white, which is racist. So they are racists. They're a gang of racists, like the gang of racists at Columbia University. And they would all self-describe as liberals and Democrats, of course. And my brother made his way out of this pack of 12 or 15 Spanish speakers and who were threatening him. And there's another woman standing off the side who's clearly with them, and went over and said, "Hey, working on a news story here, your friends are kind of getting in the way." And the woman said, "You're in danger and you better get away from here quickly." Right? Because white. Now, the Democrat Party did this to the United States of America, and they're continuing to do this to the United States of America. Let's grab a quick phone call, Michael. Let's go to Bill calling from Chantilly, Virginia. Billy, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my call. So I hate to plow old ground, but, you mentioned something about the CNN article and pregnant people and penis owners, and it made me think, Lorena Bobbitt has the unique distinction, and there's probably a couple more somewhere in the world, but we know about her, who at one point in her life, well, she's always been, I know you hate the term, but I have to use it in this case, she's a biologic female.
Uh-huh.
She's a biologic female who, in fact, for a while, was in fact a penis owner.
That is a fair point, Bill. You're absolutely right. There are exceptions to every rule, and you've just pointed out an exception to this rule. And CNN might be thinking about Lorena Bobbitt because she severed the penis of her, was it her husband or her boyfriend, John Wayne Bobbitt, and threw it out on a highway. Now, while the Democrats are trying to lynch President Trump in court today, Joe Biden is giving a speech on the Holocaust today, and Dr. Jill Biden came out. The New York Times is saying, she's privately saying, we should stop the war, Israel and Gaza. And the New York Times like, oh, that's privately. Oh, shut up. What a clown car of a propaganda outlet the New York Times is. But Maxine Waters, who is certifiably insane, was on MSDNC yesterday demonizing President Donald Trump because she's not going to vote for him. And he, if he wins, then... But if he loses, There are militias up in the mountains training to take over villages or something like that. She is mentally deranged.
This is a man who we'd better be careful about. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Justice Department and I'm going to ask the president to tell us what they're going to do to protect this country against violence if he loses. I want to know about all of those right-wing organizations that he's connected with, who are training up in the hills somewhere and targeting, you know, what communities they're going to attack.
They're training up in the hills somewhere. It's like Cuba, 1959. These people are deranged. They're all sick. And the news media carries the water for the now. I mean, she's hopefully George Floyd doesn't get killed again around Election Day, because you guys would have to burn another 100 cities, injure thousands of cops, destroy billions in property and kill dozens of people, which you did because a junkie died of a cardio overdose, but a career criminal, perfect Democrat. John Carl is a perfect Democrat, too. He's on ABC Fake News, and you must fear Donald Trump.
For as long as I've covered politics, politicians have said this will be the most important election of our lifetimes. They said that no matter how high or low the stakes actually were. Election Day 2024 is exactly 6 months from today. And this time, the divisions in our country are so vast and the choice so stark, there's little doubt this really is the most important election of our time. No more crying wolf. This is it.
Yeah, this is it. It's the end of civilization if Trump. They really care about politics a little too much.
And the man who saw his supporters attack the Capitol 3 years ago said there would not be violence this time. If he wins, adding, quote, and if we don't win, you know, it depends. It always depends on the fairness of an election. To be clear, Trump says no violence if he wins, all bets are off if he loses.
No, that's not actually what he said. That's not what he said. But you guys have made mob street violence completely normal. You normalized it. Then there is Ayma Mujahideen at MSDNC. Fear the orange man.
Unlike 2016, Trump's, you know, brazenly being autocratic in his desires.
This is the rhetoric we're going to get every day until Election Day. The left is a very dangerous gang.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord! We get it! They have chemistry!
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.